Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 10. It's page 151 in your pew Bible. I'm going to talk about a story that some of you have probably never heard taught on before. Maybe you've never read it unless you've read through the entire Bible. But it is perhaps the greatest miracle in the entire Bible. We're going to read a portion of it first, starting in Joshua 10, verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." Now, would you agree, that is a pretty bold thing to pray. You know, he's praying that God will cause the sun and the moon to stop in their tracks. Either it's going to work, and he's going to be a hero, or it's not going to work, and then suddenly we're no longer reading the book of Joshua. We're reading the book of Joshua's nephew, who took over leadership of Israel after the rest of Israel threw Joshua in the loony bin for talking to the sun in front of the whole nation, right? You know, so Joshua says, "Sun, stand still," because they're in the middle of a battle, and he needed time to defeat his enemy. If the sun went down and if darkness fell, then the enemy would all escape. And so Joshua appeals to the one who made the sun and the moon. "Sun, stand still." He's asking God to stop nature in its tracks. Now, of course, we all understand that the sun doesn't actually rise and set. It's based on the rotation of the earth. And we also know that if the earth suddenly stopped rotating for a day, that would cause some other big problems, geophysically, and scientists and engineers would have a field day listing all the potential problems with that. So we don't know how God did this miracle. Did he stop the earth from rotating? Did he somehow mess with the flow of time? Or was it something else that we're not even aware of? We don't know how he did it, but we do know that the one who created the whole universe certainly has the power to put it on pause for a day. And so it doesn't really matter how. What really matters is that it happened. God prolonged the day so that Joshua could do his will and defeat his enemies. It continues in verse 13. "So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." You think so? You know, when he has the sun stop in the middle of the sky for a day, you know, so he can help somebody, yeah, surely he's fighting for his people. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. So we've got a story here where Joshua asked God for an amazing miracle, and it happened. And as we talk this morning, I want you to be thinking about a miracle that you need in your life. Maybe you need a miracle in your marriage, or maybe you want a miracle to find the right marriage partner. Maybe you need it in your finances or in your health. Maybe you need it in your job or at school. But you need the sun to stand still. You need something that is impossible for you. It's impossible for anybody around you. But it's not impossible for the one who made the sun and moon and who daily holds them in their orbit. What is it that you need from God? Now, in order to fully understand this miracle, we have to go into a little of the background of the story. Joshua was the leader of Israel, and the book of Joshua tells the story of how he led the people into the promised land. This is after Moses has died. They were wandering in the desert for 40 years, and then he leads them in, and of course, the first battle was against Jericho, right? We've all heard that story. It was a great battle. The walls fell down, you know, and it was great victory. And after that, they had a minor setback, but ended up victorious against another city. And by the time they had conquered these first two cities in the promised land, the word has spread. And now everybody knows, hey, watch out for the people of Israel. They are tough. Their God is powerful. He's knocking down walls of cities. And, you know, watch out for these people. So there was this group of people who lived nearby in Gibeon, called the Gibeonites, and they heard about this. And they weren't strong, but they were smart. And so they decided, you know what, we better do something because we're going to be one of the next ones to get hit. And we know we're not going to win this one against Israel. And so they chose a few delegates, and they go ask for peace from Israel. But first, they send these delegates to the Goodwill store, and they get old clothes, they get worn-out sandals, they get these old cracked wineskins and dry, moldy bread. And then they go to meet the Israelites, and they say, we want peace with you. In fact, we're willing to serve you and pay you tribute if you just promise us peace. And Joshua says, well, you know, how do I know that you don't live right around here? You know, because we're not going to make peace with you if you live right here in our promised land. And they say, oh, no, we live far, far away. And in fact, when we started our journey, our clothes were new, and our sandals were new, and this bread was warm out of the oven, and the wine was fresh. We're from far away. And Joshua was fooled. In fact, there's a key verse in this story. It's a sad verse for Joshua, and it's a sad verse for you and me, because this verse describes why so many of us are facing huge problems today. It's Joshua 9:14. It says, the Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. You see, the story looked good on the surface. And so Joshua didn't check the orders with headquarters. And so he made a treaty, he made an alliance, he made an agreement with them, and it cost him dearly. In fact, this is why in Joshua chapter 10, we find him fighting a battle that God never intended for him to fight. Protecting a people that God intended for him to conquer. And I wonder how many of you this morning have made a bad alliance in your life somewhere. Somewhere along the way, because it looked good, or you know, on the surface it looked okay, but you didn't inquire of the Lord. It made sense in your mind, but your ways are not always God's ways. And I wonder how many of you are in a bad alliance right now. You signed your name on the dotted line, you made a deal, and you are still making the payments. Have you ever sat through a in-home vacuum cleaner presentation? You know these guys, they come to your home and they show you how their vacuum picks up 47 times more dirt than your vacuum, right? Yeah, Kathy and I had one of these guys come over to our house years ago when our kids were little. And they are so convincing, aren't they? I mean, they had me convinced that our kids were going to grow 3 heads if they lived among all this unseen dirt and germs. But I was thinking, you know what? I don't want to still be making payments on this vacuum cleaner when I'm 78 years old. You know, and I might come to regret that deal. Or maybe you've been in a timeshare presentation. Kathy and I did a bunch of these when we were younger because you get cool stuff if you sit there through their presentation, right? And you know, one of those times, they almost got us. And you know how they almost got us? It was because it just so happened that on that day, they had a special limited time offer just for us. And they were so convincing. You know, it's like, if you miss this chance, you will regret it the rest of your life. You'll be on your deathbed saying, why, oh, why didn't I buy that timeshare when I had a chance? But Kathy and I resisted because we were thinking, you know what? We don't want to spend the next 20 years paying for vacation 51 weeks a year and going on vacation 1 week a year. You know, we might come to regret that deal. Now, there's nothing wrong with timeshares or vacuum cleaners in case you happen to sell those or own one. But the point is, there is nothing funny about bad agreements. Nothing funny about bad alliances. When you make an agreement, you make a decision, you make an alliance in your life, and years later, you're still paying the price for your actions. There's nothing funny about that. You see, some of you can relate to Joshua and his mistake, because if he could do it, then any of us could certainly do it. I mean, if this great leader, Joshua, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible, if he can blow it and make a bad alliance, then certainly any of us can. And in fact, I doubt there is a person here this morning that could say with honesty and integrity that you have never made a bad alliance in your life. In fact, I would bet that there's a large percentage of people here this morning who are sapped dry spiritually because of a bad alliance in your life right now. Maybe it's a financial deal. There's people all around us who are $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in consumer debt, and it all started with one credit card agreement. And it seemed like a great thing at the time. You thought it was going to bring you freedom, not slavery. But then one credit card became two, and two became four, and four became eight, and now you're paying off credit cards with other credit cards, and there's no end in sight. Bad alliance. And you didn't intend for it to get that way. You didn't expect to go there. But you didn't seek the Lord, and now you're paying the price. For some of you, it's not a financial deal, it's a relational alliance. Some of you are on your second or third marriage because of a bad alliance. And he looked good, he said all the right things, but you didn't inquire of the Lord. Jesus was not the center of your dating relationship, and so he didn't become the center of your marriage covenant. And so it fell apart. And because of that, some of you are in a marriage right now that is more lonely than being single could ever be. Now, let me say, God wants you to stick it out. Just because it started wrong doesn't mean God can't heal it. He wants you to hang in there. He wants you to let him make it right and heal it. But in the meantime, you're paying a price for a bad alliance. Some of you singles are hanging around with people that are taking you farther away from God. It's a bad alliance. And you wonder why things in your life are falling apart. You wonder why God seems so distant. And you wonder why you feel depressed and discouraged and you don't have any peace in your life. You're in a bad alliance. It's taking you the wrong direction. See, the truth is we all have our alliances. Some are visible, some are invisible. You know, nobody else may be able to see it, but you know it's there. Some of you have alliances with addictions in your life, and not just the kind of addictions we all think about, but spending addictions, eating addictions, pornography addictions, you name it. And we always say, well, you know, it wasn't supposed to get like this, it wasn't supposed to go this far or get this deep, just like Joshua never intended to be fighting this battle, defending enemies that he should have defeated, but he made a bad alliance. Now, maybe it hasn't felt like it yet, but this is really a message of hope this morning, because against the black backdrop of Joshua's destructive decision, do you see how much more the glory of God can be seen through this amazing miracle? Because Joshua is fighting a battle as a result of his own disobedience to God, and yet God steps in and has mercy on his people and does one of the greatest miracles ever seen. He somehow stops the sun in its course, makes time stand still, and the victory is achieved. Do not miss this. You were made by a God who, no matter how far you've drifted, no matter how hard you've run, how many bad alliances you've made, no matter how hopeless it seems, no matter how enslaved you are, you serve a good God who can turn your mistake into a miracle. He can turn your mess into a miracle. He's such a good God. He can still bring you victory and make the sun stand still in your life. I want to talk to some of you who've wasted years of your life. You wandered away from God. You walked away from what He wanted for you. You hurt some people. You hurt yourself. You missed some opportunities that you can't get back. And you look back on those years with regret. You wasted years of your life. And you're thinking, God, I wish I could just hit rewind. And I wish I could do it all over again. Well, I have good news for you. God doesn't have a rewind button, but He does have a pause button. And He can make the sun stand still in your life. He can stop the world from spinning and compress everything that He intended for you to do into the years that you have left to do it. He can accomplish more in this next year than you could accomplish in the last five on your own. That's how big our God is. God can hit pause on the events of your life and stop the world from spinning in its orbit so that you can be touched, so that you can be healed, so that you can have the broken places in your life straightened out, so that Jesus can fill your life with good things. That is the message of hope that runs through the entire Bible. That's the God we serve. He is powerful enough to fling the stars into the sky and intimate enough to count the hairs on your head. He's willing to stop time and space to give you a victory, even when you don't deserve it. Even when you brought the problems on yourself, but he loves you so much that he'll do that anyway. Have you ever been on your way to a wedding or a funeral or some formal occasion, and so you're dressed up in your suit and tie or your formal dress or whatever, but then on the way you need to stop and get some gas? A while ago I was on my way to a wedding, and so I'm in my suit and tie, and I had to stop at the gas station. And as I'm getting out to pump gas, you know, I was feeling a little silly because here I'm pumping gas in a suit and tie, you know, and I'm thinking I am a little overdressed for the gas station. And, you know, so I feel like I ought to talk to the guy at the next pump over who's looking at me kind of funny, like, hey, you know, I don't usually come to the gas station in my suit and tie just to pump gas. You know, I'm not that weird. I'm on my way to a wedding because I felt a little silly. You know, I thought about this morning putting on a suit and tie to illustrate this point, but then I thought, wow, would that be silly, a suit and tie at the Vineyard? You know, it's like not going to happen. What's the point? I have to tell you that when you start to get a glimpse of what God can do in your life, when you start to get some faith for what he can do and start to believe that he will restore those broken places and renew the desert areas in your life, and so you start praying, God, make the sun stand still in my life, bring the fullness of victory into my life, and renew those desert areas in my life, and so you start praying, God, make the sun stand still, you know, bring victory, bring healing, bring restoration. We start praying and believing that God will do it. Did you know that not everybody will support and encourage you in that? Did you know that not everybody's gonna say, hey, yay you know, you've got some faith? No, you might even feel a little silly, kind of like you're at the gas station in your suit and tie. You might feel a little out of place. Not everybody around you is gonna understand what God has put inside of you. But you know what? That's okay. In order to see the sun stand still, in order to see life-changing faith at work in your life, in order to dare to believe God for the impossible, at times it's going to take you looking a little bit silly. Faith requires some risk. But let me tell you, when you get to where God is taking you to, they won't be laughing at you anymore. In fact, God is speaking to some of you right now. There's an area of your life where God is calling you to do the opposite of what the people around you are doing. And in your mind, you know that it's God calling you to do that. And you know he's leading you in that direction. But every time you get ready to make the change or make that move, you start looking around you at the other people at the gas station and thinking, you know, I'm going to look sort of silly if I do that. But the point is, you're not dressing for the gas station. You are dressing for the wedding. We need to learn to dress for the place that God has prepared for us, not the place where other people expect us to be. In other words, we need to make decisions not based on where we are, but where we're going. So let me ask you, where is an area in your life where God has told you to do something or believe something or to prepare for something, but you've kind of dressed down or backed down on your faith because of the people around you? And next question, what will you do in the next few days to dress up your faith again? Are there relationships that need to be adjusted? Or maybe you need to change the way you're talking or what you're saying. What is it going to look like to dress for the wedding and not the gas station? Because I promise you this, when you see the sun stand still in your life, when you see God start to move in your life, and He is restoring and healing and doing the impossible, and then eventually you get to the wedding that God has prepared for you, you will be awfully glad that you didn't direct your life based on what people at the gas station would expect. You'll be glad that you dressed your life for the place that you were going, not the place you are. I want to speak to married couples just for a second. Whether you've been married 2 months or 20 years, but your marriage is not where you wish it was. You look at other people's marriages and you wish your marriage could be like theirs, and you wish you could have had a good start, and you wish you could have known what you know now back then, and you wish you wouldn't have said this or done that or gone there, or you wish you wouldn't have bought that because it put the stress on the marriage, and now you feel like there's no hope. But I want to say to you this morning, by the authority of God's word, that God can make the sun stand still in the middle of your life. And God can restore your marriage. He can put that marriage back together and accomplish more for His glory by turning your mistake into a miracle, so that you can then turn around and use that experience and use that pain to help many other married couples. God will sometimes do more through your failure than He will through your success. Now, this does not mean that God will cancel the consequences of your disobedience. God may not cancel the consequences, but He will always complete His purpose. If you'll turn to Him, if you'll follow Him, God will always complete His purpose in your life. Let's go back to our story for a minute. After the five kings of the surrounding nations in Canaan heard that there was this alliance between Israel and Gibeon, they decided, you know what? We're going to wipe Gibeon out for making that alliance. And so the people of Gibeon come running to Joshua and they say, "You swore in the name of the Lord your God that you would protect us, so you need to honor that alliance." And so Joshua begrudgingly gathers up the whole army, and they have to march all night long to defend these Gibeonites that they never should have had an alliance with in the first place. He's in a battle he shouldn't have had to fight. And some of you are paying consequences right now for something in your life, and at one time, it looked good. It looked harmless. But you never should have done it in the first place. And as a result, you're in a battle that you never should have had to fight. But listen to me, because here's what God says. Even though you disobeyed me, even though you walked away from me, I will make the sun stand still. I will bring victory into your life. I'll hit that pause. You know, you think your DVR is good because you can hit the pause button and then watch it whenever you want. You ought to see God's DVR. I mean, when chaos is spinning all around you and regrets are crushing your soul and everything is starting to look hopeless and it feels like it's never going to get better, God hits the pause button and makes the sun stand still in your life and compresses what He intended for you to do into the time you have left in your life. What an amazing God who has the power to do that. What a kind God who is willing to do that for you. And in fact, God is doing that in many of your lives right now. He's at work doing that, making up for wasted time, the ruined time, the desert time when we weren't following Him the way that we should have. And in fact, I believe God is speaking to you, many of you right now. He's stirring in you this desire to say, "God, no more wasted time. No more wasted days. I know that I haven't been the parent that I should have been. I haven't been the husband I should have been. I haven't been the wife I should have been. I haven't been the Christian that I should have been. But God, forgive me for the places I've wandered. And now I ask you to restore it. Would you make the sun stand still in my life and restore what I wasted, so that I can do your perfect will, so that I can follow you with my whole heart." You see, if you'll obey Him and stop running from Him and pray to Him, He will hear you and He will listen and He will restore what's been lost. You want some more good news? This was not the last time in history that God made time stand still. Hundreds of years after the story with Joshua, Jesus came along, who is our New Testament Joshua, who leads us into our promised land. And Jesus hung on the cross with his body ripped to shreds as a result of the work of evil men. And then Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, had the wrath of God poured out on him because of our sin. His Father actually had to turn his back on Jesus because all the sin of every person throughout history at that moment fell on Jesus. It was like the time stood still because the past, present, and future all came together in that moment so that the sin of all could fall on him. Every sin that you and I have committed in the past or ever will do in the future. The guy that you slept with, the girl that you lied to, the business deal that was dirty, the people you ignored, the ones you hurt, all of the shortcomings and failures of your life. In that timeless moment, as Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross and dropped his head and died, it says the sky grew dark and the sun stood still in the sky. The sun disappeared instantly in that moment. Every person who has ever lived or ever will live had a way of access open for them to eternal life. And God wants to create a moment for you this morning. You're not here by accident this morning. He brought you here. This is your time. This is your moment. And all the mistakes that you've made, all the relationships that you've broken, all the trust you've abused, all the little things and all the big things. The Bible says that God laid it all on Jesus in that moment. The power of God over your sin prevailed. God hit pause over the direction of your life and mine so that he could restore what was lost. Let's stand for prayer, and I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. As they come up, let's bow together. And as we bow our heads, I want you to allow God to bring into your mind all the bad alliances that you've made in your life. Because God wants to heal and restore those places this morning. God is the only one with the power to do that. But he will stop heaven and earth and make it happen because he loves you so much. This is your moment. God will restore the years you've wasted, and he'll compress what he wanted for your life into the days you have left. God is speaking to you right now and wants to restore you. So God, we ask you right now that you will come in your power, that you'll stir us to be obedient and bold just like Joshua. God, all of us who are dealing with sin and regret from the past, we bring it to the cross right now. And we receive your grace. We receive your salvation right now. If you feel like God is speaking to you right now, then just pray along with me in your heart. Just say, Jesus, I've wasted enough time. I'm not going to waste any more. And I give you what's left of my life. Jesus, save me by your grace. In this moment, I repent and put my trust in you. Would you cleanse my sins and forgive me and make me new? Thank you for a new start. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen.